one of my favorite parts of winter in Iowa is the Nutcracker, which I used to think of as Russian, but today I think of it as an American tradition, and there's no better example than our state. We have Nutcrackers from river to river. Well, it's fitting that this week the eyes of the ballet world are not on Moscow or London, but on Iowa City. There's a brand new production of the Nutcracker, and it brings together everything. A beautiful new building, a breathtaking creative team with more genius per person than you could find anywhere else in the world, and a really remarkable Iowa history. Hancher Auditorium will bring us the Joffrey Ballet's first-in-a-generation new Nutcracker, December 1st through 4th. Well, here to tell us all about it is the executive director of Hancher, Chuck Swanson. He's in our studio in Iowa City, according to reports, and we are talking by T1 line. Chuck, it's great to have you here.
Oh, Barney, what a wonderful introduction. You just got me just even more excited than what I am already.
I think we share the excitement, and I can't wait to hear what you have to tell us about it. I know the backstory on this, Chuck, goes back over a generation. Maybe you could fill us in.
Well, Barney, it's interesting because you talk about the Nutcracker story that will unfold on the New Hancher stage this weekend. But there's really another big story that goes even beyond the Nutcracker, and that's our relationship, Hancher Auditorium and the University of Iowa's relationship with the Joffrey Ballet. It goes all the way back to 1974. Hancher opened in 72. And the first time that we presented the Joffrey was in 74. It was funded by a grant from the National Endowment for the Arts. And immediately the audiences just took to the Joffrey. And it's interesting because dance is expensive to present. And so forces came together and they started to raise money just for, it was called the Iowa Friends of the Joffrey. So soon after that, we presented them again, and then one of the milestones, this was very interesting, and I didn't come until 85, but I hear stories about this all the time. In 1978, there was a performance, and it was in the winter, and the Joffrey, the trucks that carried the costumes, got stalled in a snowstorm in Ohio. And so the dancers were here, and so what happened is the dancers went on stage in their leotards. And I'll tell you, the audience, I mean, how endearing was that? The audience just standing ovations like crazy. And that's really when it really came to real life, this relationship between the University of Iowa and Hancher and the Joffrey.
What a great story.
Oh, it was just, and like I said, I've heard it, but I wasn't there, and I'm sorry I missed that. And then in the early 80s, there were dance residencies, and these were three-week residencies with Joffrey II. This was in, I think it was 82, 83, and 85. And there again, the Friends for the Joffrey raised money to make this happen. And it was interesting because back then what they would do is they would go to surrounding communities, have free outdoor performances. And then the Joffrey went to a lot of farm parties. I remember even pictures of the Joffrey dancers holding little pigs and, you know, the barn parties. There were pictures of the dancers in the barns and really just connecting there again with people from our community, people from the university. And that love affair continued to grow. It, you know, just continued to be so special. And then the big happening was in 1987, and that's when Hancher, we raised, I think it was back then, it was $250,000, and we were the sole commissioner for Robert Joffrey's Nutcracker. And it was December 10th of 2010, almost exactly 29 years to the day when we're going to raise the curtain for this other new Nutcracker. But the applause in that auditorium, it was so special. Everybody knew that they were so lucky and so happy to be there watching this new Nutcracker unfold. And so for, you know, 28 years, that Nutcracker performed for audiences all across the country. And one of the stories that I was there, so I was a part of this, but I'll always remember that 65 children were chosen, local children. And that's what just, you know, just is so special, is that local children are a part of the Nutcracker, and to dance with the Joffrey on stage, how enriching is that for a young person? And so it left after performances here, where Hancher commissioned it and helped this to be born. It went straight to the Kennedy Center in Washington, D.C., and 65 local children. The Kennedy Center didn't have time to audition and rehearse for children, local children. So all of those Iowa kids went to Washington, D.C., and they performed on the Kennedy Center stage. I remember being the wings of that stage, watching these kids. And to me, I was so proud, and I was just so excited knowing that these Iowa kids were having this experience, and an experience that would change their lives, an experience that would be with them and their parents. Their parents, I remember every single family, at least one of the parents was there at some time during the 3 weeks.
Now, will they be at the performance this weekend?
Yes. So we've done a little alumni reunion, and I think 40 of the kids, and this is not just from 1987, but we presented the Nutcracker 6 times total after. So there have been a total of over 400 Iowa kids that have danced with the Joffrey over the years, over the 28 years of the Nutcracker's existence. And so 40 plus of those kids are coming back to see this new Nutcracker. Now, Barney, they're 40 years old. Wow. And they look back on that experience very fondly. And of course, as I said, the parents really remember it well, and they really remember how exciting it was for them. So then in 93, the relationship continues. We raised money for Cinderella with the Joffrey. We were going to commission Cinderella. And it ended up that they were not able to get the rights that they needed for Cinderella. So the money was raised, and Jerry Arpino, who was the artistic director at that time, he came back to Hancher and to the University of Iowa and said, I've got another plan. The rock star Prince, had actually seen the Joffrey perform out in Los Angeles, and he was taken by the Joffrey. And he said, if there's ever a time that you would like to do a dance with my music, you can have the rights to my music for free. So the Ballet Billboards was born, the first ever rock ballet that's hit our country and really hit the world, because they toured the world with this. That was another great success for Hancher and for the Joffrey.
And how timely in 2016 with the untimely passing of Prince.
You are exactly right. Yeah, when Prince died, we heard from a lot of people across the country, because they connected Hancher and the University of Iowa with Prince. There was one night we thought he was going to come to one of the performances, and I actually called some of the people who would be sitting around him and said, you know, there's a good chance that Prince is going to be in the audience tonight. And at the last minute, he didn't come, and so my wife was there, so we took the seats. And I'll never forget when we walked down there and took the seats, everybody was disappointed. But then it doesn't stop there. Then, of course, we continued to present the Joffrey, well over 100 performances of the Joffrey. And when it came time in our 35th anniversary, this was the summer of 2007, we knew we wanted to do something very special. We wanted to do something that really, we are the university for Iowa. We wanted to do something across the state. And we thought, you know, the Joffrey, we have such a wonderful, close relationship with them. And not everybody has access to ballet. So it took us 2.5 years, Barney. We put together a tour called River to River. It was a gift to Iowa in celebration of Hancher's 35th anniversary. And we took the Joffrey on a statewide tour with 5 free outdoor performances. We started in Des Moines and went to Council Bluffs, Muscatine, Cedar Rapids, and Iowa City. And it was a 12 semi-size vehicle entourage that went from community to community. And I'll tell you, we had glorious weather. We were so lucky it wasn't in 2008, the year of the flood. But 35,000 people experienced that ballet. And in most cases, it was people who had never had that opportunity ever before. And it was tough to create an outdoor theater and move it 5 times. The most challenging during the planning process was, what are we going to do about dressing rooms? These are, you know, world-class dancers. We've got to, and it's in June and July, you know, could be real hot. We had to make sure that these dancers were well taken care of. So we got found on a hiatus from Desperate Housewives in California dressing room trailers. And Barney, we transported those back to Iowa, and it couldn't have been better. Then the production staff, they ended up putting red carpet from each one of the trailers to the stage. And I'll tell you, it was 5 outdoor performances that people will remember for a lifetime. And for the Joffrey, you know, they said too, they talked lovingly about it. They said that typically we're in the wings when we're not performing, or when we're on stage, the lights are so glaring. But in this particular case, they could look out and they could connect with the audience. Some of them said it was even hard dancing because we wanted to look at the audience so much. So that was a once-in-a-lifetime experience for all of us. It was a risk. It was a real challenge. But yet, really, the rewards well outweighed the risk. It was an experience that anybody who was involved in it will never, ever forget. And then, when it came time to start thinking about our opening, I talked to Ashley Weider, the artistic director, and said, you know, the Joffrey has to be a part of our opening in some way. And so it was probably about 3 years ago, he came back with the news that they were going to put the Nutcracker, our original Nutcracker, to bed after 28 years and after reaching thousands and thousands of people and thousands of young people from across the country having that experience to dance with the Joffrey. He said, Chuck, he said, what we want to do is we want to have you be a part of a commission of a new Nutcracker. With Christopher Wilden, you know, choreographing and directing this piece, Julian Crouch being the creator of the sets and the costumes, Brian Selznick, you know, writing the story. I mean, it doesn't get any better than this. So Hancher, it was a no, you know, question that we had to jump on board and be a part of this. And what I love about this is the fact that this is being born on the Hancher stage. That and young people from our community are being a part of this, and people from our university, from our community, they will be the first ones to see, the first ones to really preview what this is all about. The other day I was sitting in the audience, in the auditorium, just watching some of the teching rehearsals, and to feel and see the collaboration of all these really rock star professionals working together, creating this magic that is going to transform lives for years and years to come, and to know that we have helped in a way to make that happen. It's pretty exciting stuff, Barney.
It really is. Chuck, I wanted to ask you about some of this all-star group of people coming together, because when you go into the details, it's pretty extraordinary. Christopher Wilden is a choreographer who won a Tony last year for An American in Paris. He was a soloist for the New York City Ballet, and that was the troupe created by George Balanchine, who kind of made the Nutcracker what it is for America. Tell us about him and his work with this.
Well, right away, Ashley said that he had talked to Christopher Wilden, and Christopher Wilden was going to be a part of this. And my really knowledge of Christopher Wilden is that he is a master, Barney, at bringing storybook ballet to life. He has that vision. He has that way of, on stage, bringing to life these magical, wonderful stories. And to see him work and to see him there again collaborate and to bring in all of these other team members. Basil Twist, he is the puppeteer. And I just spoke with him in the lobby last night, and I always say he's creating a lot of the magic. I saw the tree the other night grow, and wow. Then his mice on stage. I don't want to tell too much, Barney.
Basil Twist, now he's a MacArthur genius,
yes,
puppeteer. He's not just your ordinary puppeteer.
You're right, but he was telling me just about how the team just kind of came together. Different people had worked together before, and different people had known each other. And it just seems like it all just kind of, everybody wanted to grab on and wanted to be a part of this. And just watching the magic in his eyes, you can tell that he's still creating. I mean, this is still happening, Barney. It's still not, and that's what I love about the birth of it. And that's kind of what Hancher is involved in terms of giving artists the ability to be creative, giving artists the ability to work together to create something that in the end is going to change lives. And this will change lives. Julian Crouch, I've had an opportunity to talk to him too, and he's just taken by this whole thing. I think he went back to do some painting, you know. So really, Barney, it's we're watching it unfold. You know, we kind of as we're fortunate enough that we get in on all the inside. And I tell people, you know, this is big. This is a huge spectacle. And then my wife sometimes says, "Well, don't tell too much." You know, I get too excited. But this is a real opportunity for, as you said, you know, things are happening in Iowa. Things are happening here at the University of Iowa. I can't be more proud and I can't be more excited. But yet it's a little scary, too, because there are still things that need to come together. And what is this? Monday, Thursday night is opening. It's preview night. That's another thing, too, is that these are five preview performances.
The official premiere is in Chicago next week.
Yep.
We're seeing it first, though.
You are absolutely right. And that was all part of the original arrangement. And Barney, to be honest, I'm fine with that because as a university, we help things be created. We help things, you know, become real. We help things be born. And so I feel okay about that. This is an opportunity for them to test and an opportunity for them to create that final product. And for all of us to be a part of that, we're, in a lot of ways, Barney, I see this as history. You know, we will talk about this for years and years and years, just like we talked about 1987 when that curtain went up. This feeling that everybody who's been a part of this, everybody who is going to see this, they'll remember that forever. And then there's live music, too, with Orchestra Iowa, which adds, you know, just another dimension. When you get ballet and live music together, it's spectacular.
And they are a great ballet orchestra, too, so that's perfect. One other name I wanted to mention is Brian Selznick, who, if anybody's seen the movie Hugo, it's one of my favorites. That's based on his children's book. He won the Caldecott Medal. He's doing the set, am I right? Or
he's doing the whole story. Brian Selznick has written that he's like a star when it comes to children's literature.
Ah.
And so it's based on the World's Fair, 1893, The Devil in the White City. And what's so, I love this full circle, Barney, is that the Auditorium Theater is where the world premiere will happen in Chicago. And guess where in 1893 they announced the World's Fair? At the Chicago Auditorium Theater.
That is awesome.
You know, so there's just so many connections here. But Brian is arriving tomorrow, and I'm really excited about this. What we're doing is, you know, there are 44 local children chosen. And, you know, they have different little parts in this. But I think it's so important for people who are part of something to understand and contextualize the whole thing. So tomorrow is a gift to the kids and their families. Their parents have helped just as much as they have getting them to the rehearsals and being a part of all this, is that Brian Selznick and Basil Twist are going to do a little 45-minute telling kind of to these kids. They're going to share what the story is. They're going to talk about the magic. And this is just for the kids and their families. And I love this because I think this is something we can do special for them. And then they're going to enjoy their role even more by understanding everything that is happening on that stage. So, I'm anxious. I met Brian Selznick when we did the press release in Chicago. And, you know, he's a star. They're all stars. And so to hear him speak tomorrow night, especially to see the reaction of these kids, because these kids have been rehearsing and rehearsing. And you think about your own Thanksgiving schedule and how crazy that is without all of this added to it. These parents are, I mean, really, they deserve a big thank you, too. But there again, it's an opportunity for their kids to be a part of something that will be a part of their lives forever.
You know, the idea of putting it in Chicago at the World's Fair is the perfect scenario for the Nutcracker. And one of the things I was excited about in reading about it is that in the Nutcracker we're familiar with, there's a sort of an upper class party, but what he's doing instead is a scene on Chicago's South Side. Could you tell us about that?
Well, from what I understand, it's the original story, of course, is the little rich girl getting richer.
Yeah.
And this is about a little immigrant, you know, girl, little girl. I don't know for sure how old she is, but it's really kind of all about her and how she has to face life with not all of the, you know, the things that this rich little girl has. And so he approached it, I think, from a very different but yet very timely sort of approach that I think resonates today so well in the world. And I think going forward, because you think about this having a life to it too, Barney, and I think it will go well way into the future too. And you know, it's time to update the story. I think it's time to take a different approach. I look at the projections that are happening within this, and you know, the story has to evolve just as much as all the technical sorts of things in the piece. So there's a lot of surprises, and yet it's traditional. You know, it still has a lot of the traditions that the original Nutcrackers, you know, have, and the music and everything else too. But this new little twist, I think, is a perfect fitting. I really think it is.
It really does sound perfect. I wanted to ask you one other name that I noticed here. April Daly, who is one of the main dancers, she danced in a previous Hancher performance. Am I right about that?
Oh, I just love April. April is just so wonderful. I mean, she is she's an incredible Joffrey dancer. She was with us in the 2007 tour across the state. And she's one of those dancers that you just can't help but always kind of look back and focus on. I know that she has been with the Joffrey. I'm not sure. I think she joined in the early, I think it was maybe 2003, 2004. And I remember Dance Magazine one time said something about her, declared her as on the rise. So April, she's a real joy. She's a real personality. But I will always recall finally our kind of interactions on the 2007 tour, and just what a star she is. She's terrific. She's a great force. And really, the Joffrey's had a lot of changeover, so I kind of hold on to some of those dancers that we know experienced that 2007 tour, because I go back on that in such a, just the memories of that, Barney, will live on forever. And to be able to still talk to some of the dancers about it, and the dancers who are new, they've heard about it. They all know about Iowa, even some of the dancers who have never been in Iowa City before and this is their first time. That's what I love about this company. And that goes back to that relationship, Barney, is they'll start talking to you and they'll say, we've heard so much about Hancher. We've heard so much about the University of Iowa. We've heard so much about Iowa City, and we're so happy to finally be here. And, you know, that does my heart good, because to be honest, Barney, I know that there are not a lot of relationships across the country that exist like this with a college university presenter and a major dance company. Things evolve and change over time, but this has really been a constant. And, you know, it's something that I really think in this world today, especially relationships are valued, especially long-term relationships. You know, there's elements of trust. There's elements of that history always makes a difference. We're always looking forward, but yet to build on past experiences and to build on a relationship that already has had so many wonderful milestones in it, I don't think it gets any better than that.